You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
I'm casting my cares aside. I'm leaving my doubts behind. I'm setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow, giving you my fears and sorrows. Where you lead me, I will follow.
Several announcements. Tonight we're having a fundraiser at Blaze Pizza. I want to encourage you to take part in that from 5 to 8. Go by and build your own. And I'll probably get there around 6 if you want to see me build one about that thick. And it takes them a half hour to cook it. But want to encourage you to come take part in that with us. And they'll everything that comes into the store we'll get 15% off. And so want to encourage you to be a part of that. This Tuesday, February 3rd, we're actually having a celebration of life for Forrest Smith. Forrest was one of our dear members for years, and he went to be with the Lord, and his son Brian and his wife Hope were a deacon family and life group leaders in the life of our church years ago, and want to encourage you to come and commemorate his life with us. The information, I think, do you have a copy of this in the, is it in your bulletin? No? So the celebration of life's 11 a.m. on Tuesday. So I want to encourage you to come take part in that with us. And then I want to remind you again that we're working on either a trip or at least a delivery to Malaysia. Josh Gardner and family, Josh and Shay, they've started a baseball ministry there, and they need gloves, and someone brought in a baseball this week, so if you could bring in baseballs and gloves. Bats, not so much yet, maybe next time, but I picked this one up at a Salvation Army for $2.99, so I want to encourage you to bring some of those in. We're going to try and get a duffel bag full and send them over. And it's really an exciting ministry that's blowing up for them in touching people's lives. So I want to encourage you to be a part of that with us as well. And then life group, next Sunday, we're starting a young adult life group, and want to encourage any of you to get the word out for us for that. And we're going to have a great time getting that off the ground, another life group in the life of our church. And if you're not in one, we want to encourage you to be a part of one. And there's information here in the publication in the heart talking about that. And then tomorrow night, we have our summer soul winning for the Savior. And want to encourage you, if you'd like to, meet us over in the office area at 6 o'clock tomorrow night. And we're going to take part in that. And then tomorrow morning, we have our men's prayer breakfast at 8 o'clock at Berry Fresh. So want to encourage you also, you guys, to come be a part of that with us. We have a good fellowship. Usually some wonderful prayer times, and God meets with us. So thank you.
Bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. Lord, we just thank you for everyone here. God, I just ask that you would just bless these offerings, Lord, the message today. We just thank you for your son, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the blood on the cross. In your name we pray, amen.
Well, today I'd like to talk to you about three of God's impressive divine attributes. Attributes is a term to describe personality traits of God. And we're going to look at, if you got your Bible, turn to Psalm 139, verses 1 through 16. Psalm 139, 1 through 16. And so we're going to work our way through this and look at three different aspects of God and his personality and his character traits. Let's begin in verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou dost know when I sit down and when I rise up. Thou dost understand my thought from afar. Thou dost scrutinize my path and my lying down, and art intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, thou dost know it all. Thou hast enclosed me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too high. I cannot attain to it, is what David said. Where can I go from thy spirit, or where can I flee from thy presence? If I ascend to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol or hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there thy hand will lead me, and thy hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you, to thee. And the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to thee. For thou dost form my inward parts, thou dost weave me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and my soul knows it well. My frame was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Thine eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in thy book they were all written, the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. And here we see some aspects of God described in different aspects of function and that. And so one of the things I want to begin in my introduction is talk to you for just a minute about knowledge. And one of the first things we're going to be looking at is God's omniscience. Then we're going to look at his omnipresence. And then we're going to look at his omnipotent power. Now, when we think about God and his limitless knowledge and understanding, when we look at what's going on in humanity, we see in recent days the development of the internet, development of supercomputing, and now quantum computing, qubit computing. And it's been incredible, the progression. I mean, for all of us, virtually all of us here, in our recent years, not even just in our lifetime, we've gone in the collection of knowledge, the organization of knowledge, the disbursement of knowledge. We went from Ask Jeeves. Do any of you remember Ask Jeeves? And then it went from there to Yahoo. Do you remember the Yahoo commercials? And then it went from there to Google, and now it's gone to Grok. And the clock speeds have just become incredible. And the metadata that's being collected now on all of us, the only way your metadata, your personal information metadata, is not being collected, categorized, and then analyzed is if you don't have anything that's connectivity in your life. That means no smartphone. That means no cable television. That means no smart devices. If you've had a new thermostat installed in your house, then it has connectivity, Bluetooth, and so forth, and you are connected, and your metadata can be gathered. People, when they started putting Alexa in their house, and they're talking to this monitor, and the thing is now it's gone way past that. I've got an Apple Watch. I bought it. Kim gave it to me for Christmas several years ago for my AFib to monitor my heart rate. It actually does EKGs. And I've got a story to tell you in a little bit about my smartwatch, how smart my smartwatch is. And it's crazy, this collection of knowledge. And when we think about God Almighty, He looks down at us. And I know, I believe with all my heart, that when He looks at AI, quantum computing, and all that, it's the new Tower of Babel. It's the new Tower of Babel. And when He looks down and sees what's going on, and I mean, I've come to grips with it that it's there. It's definitely, I believe, and I've shared that with you in prophecy messages, that Grok and these different branches of AI, that they are the beast of the land in the book of Revelation. And I'll briefly hit that for you. You can research it when you go home. But there's two beasts described. One beast is the Antichrist, the beast of the sea. And it says that the Antichrist will come out of the sea of humanity. And then the other beast, it says, is the beast of the land. When it described the beast of the sea, it said he speaks boisterous things. He is a braggart. He does miracles after the order of Satan and so forth. And blasphemous things he speaks. When it talks about the beast of the land, it says he will be made to speak like a man. He will be made to look like a man. And he will cause everyone, small and great, to worship the image of the beast. And so when you get into that and start looking at it, and the speed, these feeds are incredible. When I first started studying this for y'all for prophecy a couple of years ago, quantum speed was 9.5 quadrillion calculations a second. A quadrillion is a one with 30 zeros on it. And it has doubled with Moore's law of computing over and over and over again. In fact, Elon Musk says, we've got 10 to 12 years of life as we know it, and that everything's drastically changing. And he said, even now, weekly, he said, these computers are so much smarter than me and us and all of us that we will no longer be able to keep up. And you should watch some of his interviews recently. And he is cutting edge. He knows what's going on. So do many of the others. But when we look at that and look past this, in spite of all of this, and it has an ominous tone to it, we look at God Almighty and we see infinity, unlimited knowledge. We see a vast, vast grasp of the universe through the attributes of God, the very nature of God, the personality of God. And today we're going to look at, first of all, let's look at God's omniscience, His presence, or His understanding. God knows everything. In verses 1 through 6, we see a rehearsal of several categories of this knowledge. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou hast known when I sit down, when I rise up. Thou dost understand my thought from afar. Thou dost scrutinize my path and my lying down, and art intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there's a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, Thou dost know it all. Thou hast enclosed me behind and before and laid Thy hand upon me. God's understanding of us, His knowledge surrounds us. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. First of all, we see that God knows everything about us individually. Every person here, all of us, everyone watching, listening, every one of us, God knows the most intricate aspects of our life. He knows every molecule of our body. He knows every thought we've ever had, every word we've ever said. And his understand, he knows not only what has happened in the past, but he knows every word we're going to say before. And we see that referred to. He's got such an understanding of us. And a lot of times we act like we've got to give him some information. We've got to give him a newsletter. You know, we organ recital. Lord, my knee. You need to understand, Lord, my knee's really hurting. My elbow, my shoulder, I've got this headache, I've got this, I've got that. And we rehearse all these things with him. And he knows every molecule of our body in detail. So God knows everything about us individually. First of all, our location. He knows our location. Oh, Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou hast known me when I sit down and when I rise up. He knows you when you go to bed. He knows you when you get up. He knows when you get in your car. He knows when you go for a walk, you ride a bike, you swim. He knows everything about you, and he's the ultimate GPS, God's positioning system. He knows you. He knows where you are in your location. In 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 27, but I know you're sitting down and you're going out and you're coming in and you're raging against me. We see that God knows our location. He also knows our thoughts. In Psalm 44:24, he knows the secrets of the heart. And we see also in Psalm 17, verse 3, thou hast tried my heart, thou hast visited me by night, thou hast tested me and dost find nothing. I have purposed that my mouth will not transgress. So here's David talking about a clear conscience, talking about trying to supervise his words. Are you careful with your words? God watches and hears and listens to all of our words. Does bitter and sweet water come out of your mouth? Do you bless people and then curse people with that same dirty mouth? Your grandmother would have washed it out with lye soap. God says, I'm watching your words. I'm counting your words. I know your words. He said, I know your thoughts. And then in 94, verse 11 of Psalms, the Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are a mere breath. How many of you, when you're sitting here today, there's many seniors here. In fact, our county is about 74% seniors, Martin County. But how many of you think about your life and say, it seems like yesterday I was a teenager? How did I get so old so quick? Well, part of the reason you've gotten so old so quick is Christmas is about 3 weeks apart now. Every 3 weeks or month you turn around, it's Christmas again. We decorate, we take it down. We decorate, we take it down. The older I'm getting, the more I'm thinking, let's just leave that stuff up all year. And I've been in some of your houses where you do. You know, mid-July, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. But our life, it just spins along, and it spins along so fast. And we see that God is monitoring our thoughts, also our habits. We see he's got our habits in there as well. You scrutinize my path, my lying down, and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Our habits, Isaiah 66, we see in Scripture in Isaiah 66, verse 18. For I know their works and their thoughts. The time is coming to gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. We see also in Job chapter 14, verse 16. For now thou dost number my steps, thou dost not observe my sin. He counts our steps. Now, if any of you've got these health watches, they do that. And it congratulates you. Oh, you reached your goal. Well, I didn't set a goal. How could I have reached it? Here's one for you. I've been riding a bike for a few years, several days a week, and I've got a 2.5 mile path, a 3.25 mile path, and a 5.25 mile path, depending on how much time I've got to ride. And so I'll set my watch on the exercise, pick out, you know, bike and punch it, 1, 2, 3, it starts. Blood pressure, you know, all of these calories I burned, how many miles I went, all that kind of stuff. Well, I was in a hurry and I got out of the driveway and I hadn't set my watch. And then I thought, well, I need to go to Wawa's and fill the tires, and that's a longer ride. So I'm going to shortcut. We live on a golf course. I'm going to shortcut on hole number 10 and go down the pathway. And so once I got down there, I said, oh, I forgot to set my watch. I just thought that. And when I got past the green so they wouldn't hit me with a golf ball, I stopped to set the watch. And when I looked down, the watch said to me, you forgot to set your setting, and I did it for you. I swear before the Lord Jesus, it's never done that before. And I said, well, I didn't tell you to. No, I didn't argue with my watch. But, I mean, what the heck? It's freaky. But that is the level we're at now, you know. And so we see that God Almighty, I mean, he's always been doing that. He counts our steps. And some of you have rehearsed with me, well, I got in 20,000 steps today or whatever. We've got one of our senior men, he's the healthiest person here. He walks like 6 miles a day. He walks to the grocery store and sometimes carries home 2 bags of groceries. He's quite a man. When I grow up, I want to be him. But we see that God says, you know, I know your habits. I'm watching, I'm counting your steps. And then our words in Job chapter 31, verses 4 through 6. Does he not see my ways, number all my steps? If I've walked with falsehood and my foot has hastened after deceit, let him weigh me with accurate scales and let God know my integrity. It doesn't matter if your family knows that you cuss or some of your bad habits or whatever you do. You know, if you don't drive well, which I struggle with that, and some of you know it, but it's also an evangelism tool. I brought a lot of people close to Christ with my driving. There's been repentance in my car. And Kim says, Daryl, I love you, but someday we're in for a fiery death. But God knows. He knows all these habits that we have. And he watches us and measures us. And he's watching everything we're doing and responding to it. And then we see that God's knowledge is unlimited. It's absolutely unlimited. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too high. I cannot attain to it. And I've spent a lot of time, the older I've gotten, thinking about God, his character, who he is, his personality, wanting to get to know him better. I've thought a lot about his thoughts. What's it like for infinity? Now, I believe, and I think this is an absolute mathematical truth. I haven't read it anywhere, but it's a conclusion that I've come to personally, that all of the knowledge in the universe is finite. There's a limited amount of it. There's only so many specks of cosmic dust. There's only so many grains of sand. Now, that number's changing when they bust up in the ocean surf, but it's a finite number. There's only so many trillions of planets. We all have only so many thoughts. There's only so many things that we can think. And so if you encompass and envelop all of the universe, everything in created universe, and that includes what angels think outside of the physical realm and possibly the illumination of heaven, the illumines in heaven, Shekinah glory, but it's a finite amount. And for God, he has all of it and knows all of it and carries it with him. And for him, all of that knowledge, all of that limited, finite knowledge is just a drip for him. It's just a spot for him. Now, I was interviewing Grok, arguably the fastest of the branches of AI quantum computing. I was interviewing her. It's got a female voice. And I said, how do you gather information and how much do you gather? And she's kind of smart aleck, really. Well, I guess if I could think as fast as she does. But she said, well, there's 100 trillion bits of information on the internet. And I can gather 10% of it in real time. 10 trillion bits of information. Well, I was impressed. I said, you're pretty quick and you're pretty smart. She said, thank you. But for God, I mean, no matter how much that number becomes, if there's the birth of new planets, which I don't know, new suns, well, sometimes they're black holing and imploding and disappearing, quarks and other things. But for God, it's just a finite thing. It's a very small thing in all the universe. Now, quantum computing's examined the universe now. They've been turning its analytical power of computing on the universe, and it's determined that there is a numerical code in all the universe. Like all of the objects hurling through space have a numerical code. There's an underlying equivalent of a computer code in all the universe. And it took that kind of computing to see it. I encourage you to read up on this. This is not science fiction. And so when we think of God and we think of the breadth of his omniscience, we see an incredible thing with him. And then we see that God Almighty, in his omniscience, there's his omnipresence. With omniscience, we see his knowledge. With omnipresence, we see his presence, literally. God is everywhere. Verses 7 through 10. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are that thou art there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there thy hand will lead me and thy right hand will lay hold of me. So you go to heaven, he's there on his throne. You go to hell. Now, the Apostles' Creed in Presbyterian churches, they quote that Jesus died and went to hell. For the 3 days, he was in hell. I don't believe that. I believe he went to paradise and emptied it out, which was Abraham's bosom. That's why the Catholic Church has purgatory. They forgot to close that verbo. It's not open for rent anymore. Abraham's bosom is closed. Jesus emptied it out. But the scriptures say God is there. Now, when I've thought about God's omnipresence, when you look at pantheism, pan means all, theism, God is in all, God is all, God is all, he's in all. But the problem with pantheism, it's impersonal God. It's like God of a force, the force of God, that he's like the force from Star Wars. And in pantheism, the view is God is in all things. He's in this wooden pulpit. God is locked into this wooden pulpit. He's locked into that altar table, this carpet, the seat you're seated in. And he's locked into this world. And that is not the scriptural view of God. That's not how God describes himself. He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. And he has this registered presence. But the more I've thought about it, the more I think that the manifest presence of God, the personal personality presence of God, is probably relating to the intelligent creation of the universe. That would be only two categories, angels and people. So in hell, he'd be in the presence of all of those who are in hell. In heaven, as he's seated on his throne, he's in the presence of everyone in heaven. He's present here. When we have our song services, I really try to stay focused on worshiping the Lord, but then I also try to sense his presence. And I'll be honest with you, today I did with our young family here leading us, our young Hispanic family. In fact, I fought back tears a couple of times. And I could just sense the presence of God. And he's present with us. I had the opportunity yesterday to visit with Jack Rogers at his famous table at the Hope Sound Market. And one of the vendors was selling coffee, this sweet Hispanic girl, and she came over and I witnessed to her. And she prayed to receive Christ, this young woman. And she said, "How can I do to others what you've done for me?" I mean, that's pretty rare. She asked how to lead people to Christ. So I had some of the gospel tracts I've written, y'all published. And so I gave her a couple of them. I said, "Read it to people. You just read this to people. You can." She said, "I will. I'm going to do it." You know, and it was just a joy to share Christ with someone who's going to share Christ. Are you proud of him? Share him. Share him with others. And so we see here that God is everywhere. He is ever present in our lives. In Psalm 125 in Scripture, we see that he tells us this, Psalm 125, 2. "And the mountains surround, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people." In real estate, they've got a terminology, location, location, location. We need to all say, "I want God to be in my location. I want to be in his location. I want him to be in my location. I want my life, I want my home, the place where I live, I want it to be a location that God's comfortable with." Now, this is the practical application for today, for you, for me. I'd like all of us this week to ask God what we need to change either in our life or in our home, whatever it might be that will enhance his presence in our life to help our home location. Through the years, Kim and I, when we've had people come over, they've stayed and stayed and stayed because we feel like they sense the presence of the Lord and we have fellowship with them. I was tempted to do what one of our deacons did in Memphis when he had a party and everybody wouldn't go home. He went in his bedroom and put on his pajamas and his robe and came out and sat on the sofa. And then shortly thereafter, everyone left. But I want you to do this. This is your homework. If you're married, remind each other. Ask God, "Show me in my life what needs to come out, what I need to confess or give up or whatever." And in my home, when we moved to a home for my dad to stay with us that had a kind of a separate quarters on it, we had new cable brought in, and they put HBO on the cable, and it was free for 3 months, I think, or 6 months, something like that. So I'm flipping the channels, and I've always thought it was just movies. Well, now it's like four or five channels, and one of them was really pornography. And I go, "Oh my gosh, this is filthy." So I called them immediately, the cable company, and I said, "I want to keep the old channel, the old HBO channel, and the movie channel. Can I knock off these other two?" "No, it's all or none." "Okay, cancel it." So they canceled our HBO. And you need to say, "Lord, do I have something like that in my home? Is there something there that troubles your spirit, keeps your presence? You may have traveled through the years and picked up these little statues or mementos. You'll be shocked with some of those that tear down the spirituality of your home. Some artwork people have. You know, and just say, you know, the Jews would go through their home with a feather to clean out all the leaven. It's kind of symbolic, but that was part of their cleansing their homes. And say, Lord, I want this location for your omnipresence. I want your omnipresence in my life. I want your omnipresence in my home. And ask him, and let's do that. It can be, you'll be shocked at the emotional lift you'll have. You'll sleep better at night. I went with a couple of our deacons. We were looking for homeless people in the woods. We wanted to do some ministry for them. And we went, and they had all been rousted out pretty much. It was near Lowe's, south of us, back in the woods behind there. And when we went, there were tents and all these things left. And there was a pile of books, and they were occult books, like satanic and witchcraft books. So I'm a gatherer, and I took those. And then I also found a fishing pole, and I found a little bitty tackle box, and I don't know, some other things. And there was a shopping cart there, so I threw all my new findings into the shopping cart, and we rolled it out of the woods, rolled it back to Lowe's. Well, I took those books home, and immediately I burned the satanic Bible one, but I thought, I'm going to put some of these, the depictions of symbols and things like that, I'm going to put it in my file in my library for future messages. And I tore the table of contents out, a couple of them, and said, I can use this as a reference. And I want you to know, just from doing that, I got oppressed. There was a darkness that came over me and our house. And Kim and I could both sense it. And so finally, I had a barbecue. I took it all out to the grill and burned it. Now, the pages were screaming at me as I burned them. Not really. But, you know, you don't know. You think, oh, well, it's just ink on paper. Oh, no, 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 no. There's a spirit, and it can open doors and gateways. And you need to recognize that. And so here we see God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. And also in Jeremiah 23, 24, we see in Scripture that the Scriptures say this. Can a man hide himself in a hiding place so I do not see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill the heavens and the earth, declares the Lord? He's everywhere. He is also continually present in heaven. In Amos chapter 9, verse 2, though they dig into Sheol, from there shall my hand take them. Though they ascend to heaven, from there I will bring them down. And then Proverbs and Job 26:6, he is continually present in hell. Proverbs 15:11, Sheol and Abaddon lie open before the Lord, how much more the hearts of men. And so we see this idea of God Almighty and his continual presence in our lives. He also continually provides guidance to us. And this idea of him relating to the intelligent creatures of men and angels on earth, people and angels. And we see in Exodus chapter 15, verse 13, in thy loving kindness thou hast led the people whom thou hast redeemed. In thy strength thou hast guided them to thy holy habitation. God Almighty wants to guide us. That's what he's doing today. That's what he's doing with his word. He's wanting to guide us into his presence, into the understanding of who he is as we relate to him and worship him and interact with him. Number three, God can do anything. There is nothing that God can't do, beginning in verse 11. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to thee, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to thee. And here we see that God, in his sovereignty and his omnipotence, his abilities, that he can overcome darkness and light. Now, we know all the way back to Einstein that light actually has weight. Light is an object. Light is a thing. But we also know that darkness is not. Darkness is the absence of light. If you will, the vacuum when there is no light. And God says, to me, light and darkness are the same. To me, I can see in the darkness as well as I can see in the light. Now, many of you may know it's Shark Week. And Thresher sharks have that big whipped tail. It'll be 6 foot of Thresher shark body and 6 foot of this big sweeping tail. And they can flick it at 80 miles an hour in a tenth of a second. And they stun a whole part of a school of fish. But they're deep divers. They go down 1,000 feet in the ocean. They really like to hunt deep, and they swim deep. Well, they have eyes, great big eyes. I mean, these are Google Eye guys. They have great big eyes on them, and they can see incredibly. Kim and I wasted an hour of our life last night watching this team of a man and a woman trying to trick Thresher sharks into hitting lures. They made one that looked like a little merry-go-round of these lures. And the Threshers can see so well that when they came up from the deep and they started going to it, they got close and they said, that's not fish. And they couldn't get them to go near them. And then they redesigned another one. It would chase it at first, and then that's not right. Well, you get a white-tipped shark, and it'd eat everything. It'd eat the motor, the camera. It'd eat everything. But these fish are down deep, and they have big eyes and tremendous sight. God Almighty doesn't need big eyes. God sees everything. God can take in everything. And so here we see this aspect of his omnipotent ability. God overcomes darkness and light. He's got that power. Then God wove us together in our mother's womb. Think about that for a minute. Wove us together. I've got the picture. I want them to throw up DNA chain. And look at this. Does that not look like a woven ladder? This was written 3,000 years ago. This was written before there was microbiology. This was written before we knew there is a woven chain of our DNA. And each one of those ladder steps in it is different characteristics, whether you're heavy or thin, bald or loaded with hair, you know, tall or short, man or woman, all these things are built in to this DNA chain and the proteins of it. And he said, here's what he says about it. For thou didst form my inward parts, thou didst weave me in my mother's womb. The Hebrew word there is sakak, and it means to fence in and to weave. And he says, I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made or wrought or woven. Wonderful are thy works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret and skillfully woven in the depths of the earth. Thine eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in thy book they were all written, the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. When it talks about this, and it's describing it, the psalmist David, as God's inspiring him by his spirit, He says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works. The term there is palal. In the Hebrew term means set apart. It means that God Almighty has clothed us with skin and flesh, and it's to set apart, to marvel at, a way too beautiful, it's too wonderful, too complex, too supernatural to be anything but awe-inspiring. When God weaves a baby together in the womb, when he wove each of us, and there is a pro-life implication. And this is one of my favorite passages for our pro-life Sundays. You know, the people that argue for abortion, you know, it's only tissue. Well, before they were born, they were that tissue. Before they were born, they were that embryo. Before they were born, they were that fetus. All of us. All of us were that. As we were woven together in the deep in the earth in our mother's womb. Woven together. And when they talk that way, I say, you speak with the arrogance of a postborn fetus. Because you used to be one of those, and now you want to get rid of them. God says this is so spiritual, it's so wonderful, it's so awe-inspiring, it's so supernatural, that all of us just stand in awe. In the birth of a baby, how can we not be in awe when we look and here's this little miniature human all curled up? I mean, they're actually folded like a suitcase to ride in mom. Little legs and everything are bent in and they look like a turkey almost. You know, they're all folded up and God fold, and then they come out and they straighten out and grow. Little people, little persons. And God Almighty, he can do anything and he can create us. Can I hear an amen? Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today. And I thank you so much for your character. I thank you, dear God, for your attributes. I thank you, Lord, that you are so wonderful. And Lord, I thank you that you're so generous and gracious and forgiving. Lord, I just want to ask you, please, right now, to wake people up. Somebody on the radio, somebody watching, maybe someone here. Wake them up to see their need to know you personally, to have a personal relationship, to invite you to be in their location. Please, dear God, speak to hearts. In Scripture, he tells us, the Holy Spirit spelled it out for us. He said, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as your Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And I'd like to invite you right now in the presence of God, right here, right now, to say, Lord, I'm sinful. I am fallen. I need a Savior. I need your Son, Jesus. Thank you for giving him to me. Thank you for letting him die for me. Please, Lord, apply his death to my life. Lord, let the shed blood of Jesus cover me, cover my sins, and forgive me, indwell me, live through me. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. You're dismissed.
My name is Karen Grantham, and I have the honor to be the director of First Baptist Christian Preschool Program. We have been in existence for over 40 years. First Baptist Christian Preschool proudly serves children from infants to 4 years of age. The core values of the preschool are rooted in Jesus Christ and are implemented in every activity. The preschool uses the nursery to pre-kindergarten curriculums published by Abeka Book and We Learn. These curriculums cover a variety of subjects and encourage the joy of learning and exploration. We offer the free voluntary pre-kindergarten program for the 4-year-olds. Preschool hours are Monday through Friday, 6:45 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. You can reach me at 772-287-7793. For additional information, visit our website at www.fbcs-stewart.org and select the preschool tab. It has been a privilege to serve God here at First Baptist Church of Stewart for the past 22 years, and I am excited to see God at work in our church and school.
Hi, my name is Allie Blackwell, and I'm the principal of First Baptist Christian School, home of the Warriors. Our school is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stewart and was established in 1974. We have been fully accredited through ACSI, Association of Christian School International, since 1999. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. We offer exceptional student education that are part-time and full-time services through our Strive program, Talented and Gifted program, Honors and AP Middle School program, and High School Dual Enrollment. Our Strive program serves grades 2 through 5 to include specialized teaching, teaching students how to reach their full potential. Strive offers pull-out and exclusive programs during normal school hours. Our TAG program is available to nurture academic excellence of the gifted students and to increase student achievement. It is recognized that gifted students have unique abilities, values, needs, and talents. The program is designed to aid in the optimum development of students' emotional, social, intellectual, and spiritual capabilities. In middle school, we offer honors and advanced placement in 6th through 8th grade math and English language arts. Our high school offers a variety of online courses and dual enrollment with Indian River State College. There is a combination of classroom and computer direct study in most subjects. In addition to academics, we offer competitive sports through our athletic programs, and we participate with the Treasure Coast Athletic Conference. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. To schedule a tour, call us at 772-287-5161. For more information about our school, please visit us on Facebook or school website at www.fbcs-stewart.org. The Lord has placed an exciting vision in the hearts of our teachers, staff, school committee, and I am confident that He will continue to bring this to fruition. My family has been a part of First Baptist Church of Stewart for the past 20 years and has been richly blessed to be a part of this family. We would love for you to join us. May God bless you and your family.
My name is Tom Snipes, and I'm a member of First Baptist Church of Stewart. I am the Life Group Bible Study teacher for the senior adults. I've attended Bible study class all my life and have learned a lot about the Bible, but there's still a lot more I need to learn. I've heard some people say that the Bible is easy to understand. I'm not sure I agree with that because I find a lot in the Bible that I don't understand. That is why Life Group Bible Studies are so important. We all need to read and understand the Bible. And how can we understand it if we don't study it? As a teacher, I have to study hard if I'm going to effectively teach those in my class. Each Sunday, we study topics with life application and have question and answer time for discussion. As Christians, we need to grow spiritually, and the way we do that is to spend time studying the Scriptures. We enjoy studying the Bible with each other. And Sunday morning Life Group Bible Study is a valuable way to learn more about the Bible. Pastor Darrell asked me about 17 years ago if I would consider leading the senior adult Life Group class. I told him I would pray about it. I did pray about it, and God impressed upon me that I needed to say yes. In these 17 years, I have learned so much and have been blessed to lead this Life Group for the glory of God. I want to invite you to come and be a part of our life group Bible studies, beginning at 9 o'clock each Sunday morning. We also have life group studies for all ages. I do hope you will consider checking us out and experiencing our love for you and Jesus. I look forward to meeting you and making some new friends.
Reborn Youth Ministry is for students in 6th through 12th grade. We invite students each Wednesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. to get up, get out, and get moving. Students will hear high-energy Christian music and messages straight from God's Word that they can apply to their lives, relevant to issues they face each day. Friendships are formed through team-building games, sports, art, and service projects, and special events throughout the month. If you or a teen you know is looking for a Christ-centered, safe, and friendly environment, please check us out. On Sunday mornings, we offer a life group for our students at 9 a.m. and invite them to join our worship service right afterwards.
Hello, my name is Colleen Highstone. Our church is a family, a fellowship, and a body of believers. We study God's Word together, we worship together, pray together, serve together, rejoice together, and support each other. If I had to use only one word to describe our church, it would be loving. I count myself blessed to be a member of this church. See the faithfulness of our church family in supporting our many church ministries, which includes this weekly radio broadcast. As the Bible says in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Our church motto is connecting people to Jesus and one another with love. Our church members live that out every day. If there's any way we can serve you or your family, don't hesitate to give us a call. We'd love to meet you and invite you to join us on Sunday mornings as we worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstewart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, if you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stewart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.
When you pray, I will listen.
Hello, this is Rachel.
And Alexa.
We invite you to join us live for God's Got It.
Each Thursday morning at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, Alexander Alfano inviting you to listen to the Religious Liberty Report, our weekly news brief on Religious Liberty News on WCNO 89.9 FM at 1 p.m. on Saturday afternoons. Hope to see you there.